use of shared common property names and definitions where appropriate. It can help ensure that incompatible concepts are not created. As such, it can improve integration. In other words, what we're talking about is, if we talk about the idea of an ID or a name or a description, assuring that it's if it's common, let's treat it as common. And similarly with any relationships that would follow some similar pattern. So thinking about industry models and routes, and of course you can look into this yourself if you haven't, but I picked on two of them. I also looked at a little bit at a third one and decided to set it aside. But at any rate, thinking about MEF and TMF, they both have root class hierarchies. They both have a concept of root entity called exactly that, root entity. They both have a concept of entity, and you'll see some diagrams and such here in a moment. The MEF has a concept of definition, which is somewhat similar to the TMF's concept of entity spec. And just think design time side and definition and entity spec would go there. The MEF has concepts of managed entity and unmanaged entity that are subclasses of entity. The TMF had that for a number of years, but around release 12 of the TMF SID, they made managed entity an aggregation of entity. And again, you'll see that in a moment. Within MEF, they have a rule that says all classes are rooted. And they also have a rule that multiple inheritance is disallowed. In other words, I can't be a subclass of two different things. I can only be a subclass of one. Within the TMF, not all classes are rooted. Some exceptions include party location and business interaction. They don't have an explicit rule saying multiple inheritance is disallowed, but as best as I can tell, it doesn't appear to be practiced. So if we take it down to a bit more level, under root entity, some of the attributes from the MEF include common name, description, object ID content, and object ID format. And you see the cardinality of those items. The only thing that is required is the object ID content and the format, name and string or not. Within the TMF, they have name, description, and ID. So they both have name, they both have description, they both have an ID. And as best as I can tell, and I actually talked to the SID team about this, they don't explicitly specify the cardinality of these attributes within the addendum or the HTML publish. It appears to be a stereotype is used to specify if it is required or optional. And as such, whenever they were digging into this with me, they were a little puzzled on the results. The only thing that's required is name, not description, not ID. I think they agreed they need to do a little work here. Entity, neither one of the standard models have any attributes there. With definition class, the way they phrase it, if you look at the MEF document, there's no attributes at this time. For entity spec, they have the following two attributes, a status and valid for some time period. So in other words, if you think about something like a catalog item, you may have a status of it's in development or whatever, and maybe it's valid for January 1st to, the end of June or something, and after that you're no longer making it available or whatever. Couple other notes here. If we think about things like party or business interaction, and neither one of these are a key part of the ONAP model, but keep in mind that a party may be supplying some some sort of a VNF that the service provider wants to include. So the party, we do have a role with party in business interaction. Certainly things like, you know, that's applied to the service model. Things like the an order. An order is a type of business interaction. And if you think about either one of these, neither one of them need a name. Now, a party, according to the TMF, they have a separate class that deals with names and such because it's fairly complex, actually. And a business interaction, similarly, neither one of them needs a name. So we, you know, from the TMF views, maybe this is part of why they didn't include it in root. You're either forcing in names in both of those interactions, or you need to make it not required. So there's some compromises, and we have a proposal on how to deal with some things like that. So if we then kind of look at, well, what does this look like in diagram form? Now, I will point out that this diagram is something that I put together per analysis of the MEF document. They do not have a single diagram pulling this all together. So basically, we've got the root entity with those four different attributes. Entity is a subclass of that. Underneath that, then you have unmanaged entity and managed entity. Under unmanaged, you have things like location. They also have a domain. Here's party and business object, which I kind of think maps kind of sort of in some way to the business interaction from the SID. I don't think I touched on that in the previous diagram. Then under managed, they have definition. And then they have a service, a resource, and policy. And then presumably under definition is where you would find, you know, from our view, things like the service descriptor or resource descriptor or whatever. So you've got a little bit of a leveling difference here. If we go over and look at the TMF, there's your root. Here's your entity spec. Entity spec, then things like service spec and resource spec. Entity then with resource and service. And then you can see here managed entity being having a relationship to entity. And you can see that you either have one or you don't. So basically you could say, well, yeah, that the resource is managed or the service is managed. And then you can see things like place, which is kind of like the location from the MEF. Party and business interaction are kind of out there on their own with some attributes. So these are just drop these in here. These are actual MEF diagrams. So you can, and you presumably can take some of these and put together this larger picture view that I put together. So I'm not going to spend time on those. Similarly, these are some straight out of the SID addendums, some of their diagrams, again, largely for reference purposes, but maybe touching for a moment on business interaction. Events, like a VES events, would fall under notification. From a license view, license agreements would fall under agreements. An order, service order, is a type of request. So hence why some of this probably needs to be coming into our model. I'm going to skip the observation slide for the moment, as well as the proposal, and go direct to what this is a proposal that Jesse and I have put together. Got some input from Andy as well as Arun Gupta, and it's a little bit of a mash of both the MEF and the TMF model. So you see that we have a root entity with name, description, and identifier. The only thing that's required is identifier. Name and description are both optional. And then we have a managed entity, so we're kind of taking this from the SID. Not sure how much we need to, how important in our environment it is to call out that things are managed, but it's there if we need to use it. And then under entity, we have and we chose to not use the word definition. We chose not to use the word entity spec, but we call it design entity and operational entity. And because we, in our world, it seems like we talk a lot about design time and runtime. So here we can see, here's the design time side, here's the runtime side. And then you can see where we did and this is a UML valid practice, we are redefining name and description. So we're redefining name inherited from root entity. And all we're doing is saying is it's required. And we're taking description, which was optional up here, and we're saying it's required. Basically, just think about service spec or VNFD, PNFD, all these things. We want them to have a name. And also we want them to have a description. So there we've taken that optionality out. And then you can see all these things that we practice. Now you'll notice the note over here, the difference in color. These classes down here are here for illustration purposes only. It's copies of these actual entities that sit in other places in the model, because since it hasn't been accepted, we didn't want to affect the model with all of this until accepted. So this will all be deleted if and when this proposal is accepted, and we'll pull in the proper entities. So basically, we've talked about design entity and the things under that, operational entity, the things under that. Domain, we just carried over from the MEF, something that Andy felt pretty strongly about. And then place or location, business interaction and party. Unlike the SID, we felt like we wanted to root those. And of course, since the optionality up here for name and description, only thing being required is the ID. Of course, things like place, you may remember that has been in some different entities down here as a string, really should be a relationship, because place in itself is a pretty complex concept. So we've got it here. You see it's tagged as experimental, but it's something that we probably need to bring into our model. And this is basically it.
Kevin, this is Mehmet. I think maybe I see fundamental maybe differences where you place service. I have to go look at it. I don't think in the MEF we put the service under the operational entity.
Under MEF, it is placed under managed entity and then directly underneath that. So we're basically saying you have this definition concept, and then you would put your specs or your definitions under that. And then you have another level of the hierarchy for the actual service resource VNF. And then the service and the resource themselves are up a level. So we're basically inserting another level to put them at the same level of the hierarchy. So there's a design entity, which would be kind of like the definition with these things. We're adding an operational entity with these, and then they're at the same level in a hierarchy. Which is almost kind of like what SID did. We've taken the SID concept a bit and put these things all at the same level. So as I said, this is not MEF, nor is it the SID. It's a little bit of a mix of both.
I'm sorry, I have a quick question too. I joined late, but where are you targeting the information elements for slices in this? That's the first question. And the second question, when we talk about a managed entity, does that also include the provisioning or just the performance aspects? Can you comment on those two things?
So slices would probably be something, and some of it depends on how it would be modeled, but for Borislav and some of the work he's done, so those are things that would obviously apply down here. And then of course there's just how we would do that. For the managed entity, we have a little bit of a shell here. And as I said, we would need just to see how much we want to actively do things here. Obviously, Etsy doesn't talk about managed entity at all. So as I said, we have a hook here. If indeed we want to talk about things, and of course here there's management methods and things like that. But
right, just the entire management plane. What should be a part of that in this relationship, in this entity relationship diagram, so people can have a functional understanding of what that the role is and how we would then represent it.
Yeah, and that's probably where I'm kind of just backing off in a little bit and saying I don't know. Because we have done no work with managed entity, nor has Etsy. Not even sure if we need
it. But we
put a hook there if we needed to. And you can see it's optional.
Well, I'd like to get people's opinion on whether or not it's needed. I mean, intuitively to me, it seems like it is needed, but maybe I'm missing the point.
So there is actually some work going on that in MEF regarding to the measurement, things like that. I have to go look at it. So, Fred, we can look at that one, see how we can map this thing over here.
Right. I wasn't trying to put anybody on the spot. It just jumped out at me, and I didn't know what the strategy was. And I think it's clear now. All right, so we can look at it offline. Thank you.
Well, there's part of me, and maybe I shouldn't open my mouth and say this, but in our world, you could say just about everything is managed because you can digitally change it. And but at any rate, you know, I'm probably with you. I'm a little interested in seeing what use we would really make of managed entity, and we'll see. We'll see what comes out.
Great. All right. Thank you.
So I want to follow up with the service concept, Kevin.
Sure.
You see, I see you put the network service under the service. Okay.
Right, which is, I believe, and remember, this is out of scope for my contribution. The contribution Jesse and I are making are just the things in the bluish gray above. The network service being a descriptor, being a subclass of service descriptor, that's work this team here has done. That's not my work.
Right. Keep going. My point is to say I understood really just for the discussion. I'm not trying to say right or wrong. The network service is defined in the Etsy. It's really not a network service. Okay. So I really beg you guys, stay away from this. It's not a network service. Service, what we define in MEF, is an end-to-end service. Network service is nothing more than a service chaining between the VNFs and the link between them. And therefore, you can maybe, you know, it could be a subset of the, I don't know, we call a service, but nevertheless, it's a component of a service. So I just want to be really at least bringing that to your attention. That's all.
Well, so just, I can't help but comment on that. And maybe I just don't understand, but I've tended to want to say, a network service is just a service. We already have a service composite and service atomic, and not sure if we need exactly what all relationships, behaviors, and attributes that are unique here. I know there's been talk about maybe it's just for onboarding. So yeah, I don't know. So maybe I'm siding with you a little bit here. But again, that's maybe a different discussion.
Certainly. I just want to point out there is certainly another effort that I initiated in MEF to look at the LSO architecture and the CMAN, how we can tie them together and how we can represent those. So we still have a long way to go, but anyway, I just wanted to point out the differences. That's all. Thank you, Kevin.
So the intent here is, as I said, if we kind of go back to the goals at the beginning, is rather than having a service descriptor has a service descriptor name and a VNF has a VNF descriptor name, and maybe they're both strings and maybe they're not, and then there's maybe some relationships that we want to inherit. Maybe we want to inherit managed, and that can apply to all of those. We also then have the hierarchy for, you know, things that we want to add. And again, maybe we need to update some of these attributes, and if so, that's fine. But, you know, what all do we want all of the descriptors to inherit? Now, you will notice that there is not a relationship between design entity and operational entity. If we did that, then we wouldn't have to have any of these associations down here. But also, if we do that, that means that a service descriptor could have a relationship with a VNF, which isn't what we intended. You know, SID actually had this problem, and they took this relationship out, made the relationships down at this level to not allow apples to be created from oranges, sort of thing. But at any rate, so as I said, I'd like to say it's not a very complex hierarchy. I think we don't want it very complex. But I personally think the redefining, which I think was an idea I actually got from someone on the SID, helps tighten things up a little bit. What maybe one other comment I will make, and this was actually per an interaction with Chewy, is if and when we accept this, whether it's in this form or at, you know, updated or whatever, if we accepted it tomorrow, the recommendation would be we don't try to implement it in release 4, because it's a little bit late in the release cycle. Is so my desire would be to get it accepted, you know, soon, if it's possible, that we wouldn't look to implement it till release 5, because that way the trickle down updates, in terms of attributes and these various subclasses, you know, we would be done in a, you know, in appropriate fashion and not late in a release cycle. So I'll stop there. What was discussed on the resource call, this was presented on the resource call, I believe, a couple weeks ago. And on the Monday call, what I requested was comments this week. And then we'll see, you know, if the comments are, if there are no comments or nothing that causes us to go into a further design cycle, perhaps look for within the resource team or the service team, you know, some level of a consensus, and then followed by, you know, a formal consensus at the Tuesday modeling call. So basically, we'd like to kind of start a process to see if we can wrap this up. And Ling Lee, that's all I know.
Did you want to go over those two slides that you skipped over, the recommendations and the analysis, or do you think you covered that adequately already?
Why don't we back up and take a peek? I think we did. So some observations, not the first one, yeah. Establishing a root model for ONAP is a priority. Try to keep the root model reasonably simple. I think I've just kind of said a couple of those things. So there are many similarities between MEF and TMF. A single root entity is appealing, although having a small number of high-level classes would be acceptable. And you can see, you notice I did not state everything will be rooted, because I don't know if I know enough to make that statement. But you can see kind of the result, key concepts, they all are rooted. Let's see, what else? Having a single root will water down attribute cardinality. One can override attribute cardinality if needed. So basically, we went with a single root, but we did the override, because I didn't want to say that service descriptions were optional for on the descriptor side, you know, which would be a watering down. So we did a redefine to solve that. I personally, thinking about business interaction and business objects, you know, we all words have baggage with them. you know, service is a fine example. Service is pretty overloaded. So the challenge is settling on a word for some class that we can all live with. I personally, business object used by MEF has some connotations for me. I kind of prefer the business interaction. The idea of managed and unmanaged, it was unclear the importance of managed and unmanaged in ONAP, in a NFV environment. MEF adds some additional layers for that. So kind of the way we solved that was, we kind of talked about that one, not convinced if this is really key for us, but it's there, kind of hanging off there, we can build on it as needed. And of course, we had an we talked about that one. So that was the observations. And under the proposal, I believe these words just kind of lead to the diagram. I do think that we should disallow multiple inheritance. There is a particular model that uses it abundantly, and it leaves me scratching my head, but maybe I just don't understand. Will we suggest using the root entity coming from both MEF and TMF? It was a collection of attributes. But with the idea that we can redefine as appropriate, which we did do, just on the cardinality only. Part of the proposal, make entity an abstract class, extends root entity, represents classes of objects that play a business function, and that can be managed. And that's pretty much, as I said, MEF and TMF both do that. And then making party business interaction in place subclasses of root. And then we kind of verbally talked about service order, license agreement, and event, all would go under business interaction. Managed object is a composition relationship. We talked about that. Design entity is an abstract class that extends entity in order to define shared attributes for any type of design classes, including descriptors and specifications. I think Jesse had an input there saying maybe there's some design entities that aren't descriptors. You know, we weren't sure. So rather than calling it a descriptor entity or something, we generalized a little bit to allow for some other things. And then operational entity, which is a deployment. So again, runtime side, design time side, and then putting descriptors and the runtime entities kind of at the same level in the hierarchy. So yeah, I think that's it.
Thank you.
You will find this presentation. Let me drag something over.
Just put it into the chat window, the link, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So, I think you'll find it under R4, Common Information Model Description. You'll find the root. The UML. And then also there you will find a link to the presentation. And the presentation is just under the modeling contributions area. So I think you probably, if you want to, I could put this link in the chat window.
Thank you.
Sure. So as I said, comments welcome.
Hey Kevin, this is Ling Lee. I have a question. What is the status for this proposal? Are you seeking approval, and would it have an effect actually to the current resource and service modeling? If we're using the root, what are the impact to what we have been doing currently?
So what I'm seeking now is comments within the next week, and then we'll work through the comments or updates appropriately, and then I will be seeking approval. And then the impact this would have on the present model is we do have a service ID and a service description and a service name, and we have a VNF name and a VNF ID and a VNF description. So the effect would be, it would just collapse down to name. It would inherit name from root entity. So we would, if we're in a class called VNF, the name is going to be the VNS name. If we're in a class called service, the name will be the services name. And so you would start seeing an update like that. And also, if sometime in the future someone created some new object and the new object had a name and they decided instead of making it a string to make it something else, or they will make the ID an integer instead of identifier, you know, that would not be possible. It would just inherit from name. So that's the kind of the impact it would be having on the model. But then again, the suggestion is don't try to implement that in R4. We're a little too late in the cycle. Let's do that in R5. That doesn't mean that we can't approve the root hierarchy in release 4.
Still want a little bit clarification. I see from a diagram for the design entity, right? There's also status, and I've got one of the attributes. And for the operational entity, they are also I remember now. So valid time and status, right?
Yes. So it would, and again, comments are welcome. It would seem to me that let's take a service descriptor. That service descriptor probably should have some sort of status. You know, is it in development? And you notice at the moment I just have it as string. I don't have it as an enumeration. That if we want to enumerate it, we can. You know, is it in development? Is it currently active? Is it in some sort of a grandfathered retired state? Is it something that the service provider wants to make available? Maybe it's only valid for 6 months and then it's in some other state. It seems appropriate to have something like that. But again, you know, I think when we get down to the details of the attributes, it wouldn't surprise me. In fact, I would hope over time having the hierarchy will cause us to start thinking about, well, what updates do we want to make from a design entity view or at a root level or whatever that we want, you know, these concrete classes down here to inherit from. That's part of what, you know, and you don't want to change it every day, but, you know, that kind of analysis and consideration for update is appropriate.
Thank you. All right, so I believe that's all for the first topic. Shall we move to the next one? Burslov or Tui, which of you would like to share? Thank you, Kevin.
Hi. Yes, Tui, please go on.
Maybe I can share.
Meanwhile, we had a discussion yesterday, including Gil and Kevin and Fred and other people, Lingli, Chewy, probably forgot someone. Way then. So we reached an agreement with Gil, and the agreement was that nested services and shared services there is no objection to use them for modeling of network slices, and it's not coming instead of a lot of resources. It's two different things which can be complementary, can be standalone, and they do not have to. One does not require the other. So we probably can proceed with the approval of this solution. There were requests to actually provide the modeling example of a 5G run, and since there is no real PNF that is available for us, and no PNF and VNF descriptors. So I don't see how it's possible at this moment to create a real model of 5G RAN. But what we provide is the ability to create this model once those devices will be available for the community. And also we provide an example model, which is not too realistic, but I think it has all the components that are needed later for the real model. Okay, so in Dublin release, we are providing the infrastructure, the platform for creating 5G RAN and also 5G core models once real VNFs will be shared, real PNFs will be shared. Is it correct, Lingli? Hello?
I think so, yes. But just one comment. Are we not going to provide a concrete example for RAN slides?
Well, as concrete as possible. You see, I do not have any PNFs or 5G VNFs, so I cannot take a real VNF descriptor and you know, onboard a real VNF and provide a real example. I am providing an example of a 5G network slice, but it's an example I invented, not based on real devices.
I see Ben is circulating an invitation for both you and Chuyi to join his 5G use case discussion. Is there any possibility that actually to having them, the use case working group, to review this and see if, you know, there is possibility to do something on the example?
Yeah, well, user will be example of real VNS PNS. I'll be glad to model it, and I participate in the 5G use case every week, and if the guys from Nokia, Ericsson, or anyone else will be sharing example of real devices, that the advanced us all. I didn't see Ben's invitation. Maybe I missed it.
Ben's invitation also sent to Brisnov or only to you?
I think a boost. And he also mentioned us on the wiki page with the agenda here. Maybe I can share the ID and time for Brisnov.
Yes, please do. What I received from Ben is only a PowerPoint presentation, a PDF presentation of network slicing, but it didn't contain concrete PNF or VNF descriptors that can be used.
Yeah. So I actually don't know what the discussion will be in this today's meeting.
Yes, if you can forward me the meeting, I'll be glad to participate.
Okay,
so would you like to continue to the model?
Please, I would suggest that you guys go through and provide an update to the people in this room, and we get the sense of this room today, and then we can move on to see what comments we will receive, and if there's no objections, we can move forward with this proposal, right? And we will continue working on with the 5G use case working group to see, you know, how concrete example we could provide, but at least we'll be more competent and we will be providing the infrastructure capability of hosting that model and support a realistic example once it is available.
Okay, maybe I can introduce the latest changes for the SLES model. The first part is for the configuration. during the discuss on the offline talk, I think the proposal will include two new attributes in service descriptor. The first one is configurable property. This attribute will be used to tell the detailed service configurations. The second one is for the lifecycle management script. The script has the five informations here. The event attribute will include all the events for the service lifecycle management, for example, the deployment and the termination. Second one is an addition events beyond this service lifecycle event. This is the script name, I think, the content rights. And this is the language and also the script inputs here. If we wanted to have the configuration for the nested service, when a service descriptor is shared, we may introduce the event of configuration and then write the configuration information for the you know, for the shared resource. And then add the attributes here and some for the script input, and then to accomplish the configuration action.
So just a couple quick comments. I think we'll need to understand well what, and I think we touched on this earlier this week, what a service profile is, and then the subclass of the slice profile, the latency and number of UEs, that sounds like configuration stuff. And I've even heard you use the word configuration. And that's fine. I sounds like configuration stuff to me. Then we also have that data type called a service configuration properties. And there's always the challenge of, well, is it really a data type or should it be a class? And I think we need configuration. I've heard the term configuration used loosely, frequently on calls like this. But then there's the question of, is it profile or is it configuration? Is it a class or is it a data type? And is it even possible that the service configurable parameters and the service, the slice profile, is all really configuration stuff, if we kind of generalize a little bit, and then we have the service descriptor having a relationship to service configuration. And of course, maybe there's multiple configurations possible. So it's a many-to-many relationship like you have there. So just some thoughts.
For the service configuration property, it is the data type. I just follow the axis structure. I don't know if it can change it to a class. So what's the reason for that?
So I think in general, the reason you make something a class rather than a data type is that it is a concept that can perhaps stand on its own. And so what I'm trying to say is latency and max number of UEs sounds like configuration stuff too. So how to figure out what would be in this data type as opposed to into the slice profile, I'm not sure if I can see why they're separate. And then, as I said, service configurable parameters. I know OSM, I think, liked making things like this data types, but it kind of felt more like a class to me.
From my understanding, I think this service profile was more general information, maybe come with the first deployment, but this structure may be more focused on, you know, when we choose a shared service descriptor, we may do some configuration for the resource part, and we should write this information of how to do the configuration in the service part. So that's the difference between the structure and the service profile, from my understanding.
Well, it sounds like something we can continue to puzzle over.
Okay. So if no, I think there's currently no more comments about this configuration part, then I want to introduce another change for the service instance profile. In the last call, I draw the service instance profile into a class, but when I reconsider, I think this is used to record the information of this instance. So maybe we don't need a class, we just need a data type is fine. So I change the class structure into the data type structure. And that is the second place I make change. So any comment for this part?
Please excuse my ignorance. What is the difference between class and data type in this context?
I think the class is more independently. If it is a class, it is maybe can be referenced to you know, other classes. But from our requirements, I think we just need to record the information and prepare it to use by other. For example, filter a proper service instance. So I think it can be changed to the data type.
Okay. And can we do the same for the service profile to move it to a data type also in this case?
Sorry, are you asking me a question? I'm kind of lost.
If maybe we can also change the service profile to be a data type in this case, or better to leave it as a class.
You mean this part?
Yes.
Well, I'm open to that.
Well, I think this leads us back to the discussion about, you know, configuration versus this term profile and understanding it. But if you can have, I have to go back and do some digging, but I think some of the reasons for calling something a class versus a data type is it's a separate concept. It can stand on its own. It can be named. And as is highlighted here, whether you call it a service profile or some sort of configuration, there can be some number of them. Mm-hmm. And I also wonder, is, you know, let's use the term configuration for a moment. And I'm going to wave my hands and generalize a lot. So let's say I have a configuration for small, configuration for medium, and a configuration for large, whatever that means. And let's say that at runtime, I want to have the ability to switch between small, medium, and large quickly. You know, maybe it has something to do with communications in a soccer stadium, and it is the day for a big event. So you want a large configuration. Again, whatever that means. So part of me would wonder, again, I'm speaking in really general terms, even on the service instance side, if it may be there may be some number of configurations or service instance profiles, and you have the ability to switch between them pretty quickly, and therefore it's a relationship and maybe something to many relationship. Just food for thought.
So, for example, if a user had in terms of switching, had a bronze service and wanted to switch to a gold service, you would use that other component, which would then impact resources? Or are you meaning that just generally scaling would involve those kind of modeling representations, or both?
I don't know. I guess it depends on what you define the gold, silver, and bronze to be. When I think of those, I usually think of, you know, redundancy and some things like that. But, you know, maybe to your point, Fred, what if you allowed people to switch from the gold to the bronze or back, you know, rather than it being a more permanent agreement, it's something that they could configure and change quickly with whatever price ramifications. You know, I don't know.
Right. That was essentially the question. Yeah. Okay. What you had in mind. But all right. Okay.
And so I guess what I'm trying to say is we're dealing with something very specific called slicing, whatever that means. And do we want to model that specifically like that? Or do we want to generalize it, call it configuration? So in other words, I'm comfortable with some of the concepts here. I'm just trying to figure out how we want to model them. And do we want to call it something a little more general, like configuration? And then slicing is a configuration. I don't know. So I'm raising questions more than proposing answers.
Well, are you suggesting that different slices will have different configurations, or that users on slices will have different configurations on that slice depending upon what their SLA is, or both?
I wasn't really thinking about SLAs, and that's an interesting thought. I was thinking more just along on just configurations.
All right.
Just for discussion, that would take profile as SLA parameters, while configuration actually when we are doing service provisioning or service change, and those are the parameters to be passed down to complete the task or operation. Would that make sense?
Well, I was just thinking there's a tight coupling between configuration and SLA.
Yes, could be.
It could be, yes.
So you're suggesting that if we just run with those comments for a moment, maybe there should also be a relationship between that SLA concept and the configuration concept.
I believe so. It seems like it would require some change of an allocation of a resource, right? That would differ from one with a lesser SLA. It just seems to me like such.
So if I want the gold or platinum, which maybe is defined as having total redundancy in different locations, then that obviously impacts your configurations.
That would be one example. I'm sorry, I'm being summoned to another call, but to be continued. Thank you for the discussion. That's very helpful.
Yeah, I need to be dropping as well, but definitely I think some interesting thoughts here.
Okay, so guys, how do we proceed with with this model?
I believe that we need to populate this model more and address comments. And to me, it seems that there are still, you know, some clarification to do, right? In terms of profile configuration, those are newly added data types or classes. People need more time to digest that. Could we ask comments for a couple of dates and see if we could address them before next week, next Tuesday's modeling subcommittee call? And if that be the case, we could ask the subcommittee to initiate a call for approval by them.
Okay, that sounds good.
Any other comments in the room? Let's see more to join. If not, I would like to call for end for today's discussion. Thank you all for coming.
Okay, thank you. Bye.